Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Happiness by DJ Petey from moontribe.org. I thought I'd play a little bit about that happiness to connect in a little bit of that energy today. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and also, as I like to say, your co-pilot. Welcome all of you listening via Cosmic Dimensions, all of you listening later in the archives, and all that will be listening later via iTunes. And welcome all of you in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. Great to see all of you that are starting to get in there and all that are listening via the phone lines as well. So it's great to have every medium converging here. Awakenings Radio highlights conscious living for conscious lives. Awakenings is the place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, poets, mystics, authors, metaphysicians, spiritually minded people and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up or are awake and awakening more and revealing and reflecting their awakening through their way of being in the world. We bring spiritual teachers here, conscious experts and visionaries, leaders in all parts of life, to focus on the process of awakening and how you can take your awakened state into your everyday living. How can you really live what you've realized to make what you've realized actualize? Awakenings Radio is also a timely relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. So welcome to the program. And if you would like to dialogue in the chat room, all you need to do is sign in or register through Blog Talk Radio. And it's at the very bottom when you hit chat now, you'll see a chat window come up. First, you might see some little connecting, and then at the very bottom, it'll say note. To comment in the chat, you must be logged in. Please register or log in. So either one of those links, to register, you can click that, or to log in, you can click that. And or you can listen as a guest as well. That's fine. But if you would like to ask questions in the chat room. And if all possible, if you can put your questions in caps, that helps me see them a little more quickly. But if not, I'm pretty good about catching stuff, and I tend to see if people want me to see something that I've missed, they'll repost it, which is nice. Or sometimes I'll get a little text or tweet. I'm trying to ask a question. I'm like, okay, I got it. And of course, on the phone, if you're listening by phone, that's fine. We have quite a few listeners that listen simply by phone because they're on the go. However, if you do have a question or a comment, if you'd like to be heard, your voice to be heard, just press 1 on the keypad, and that'll put an alert on the switchboard that. We got already Seagirl, Nudges, Vina, Blue, Wonderful, Light, Debbie, great to connect, and guests that are listening. Wonderful to be here with all of you. And I'm loving what we're doing. Some of you may know of this. Send more in. We are doing How and Where You Listen to Awakenings, a bit of a non-competitive contest. How's that? And you can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. That's awakenings@selfandlight.com. And that, if you email me how and where you're listening to Awakenings. And I had some come in today, one from in particular from an artist that listens when they're painting. So that was another great one. Getting a lot with people walking or working out. Also the bath. The bath seems to be a favorite place to listen to. And bed also propped up with pillows listening. And some people are multitasking where they're listening and reading. We had Cindy, you know who you are, a professional poker player. I love this. In fact, I'm going to see if I can upload the photo. While playing poker, she's got the screen of Awakenings on and the headset listening to the show. She's a professional poker player. So I thought that was great. That you know what? We're just all so amazing. We're amazing beings, aren't we? We're just all so creative. And to me, it's being really reflected in the various ways that people use awakenings and what they take from awakenings. I also had a computer tech email me, which was great. And he was saying that he has to be on, he's on call as well, but he's a lot of times in offices, and people aren't, once he's working on the computers, no one's, he said, is talking to him. And they don't know if he's listening to music or whatever, but he said it gives him a perfect time because he could be hours at a computer or networking assistant, and he's got awakenings playing on his MP3 player. I think iPod, to be exact. So I thought that was very cool as well. So that's, you know, who knows? FedEx people, are you listening to awakenings on your iPod or your MP3 player? You know, mail person, are you listening to awakenings? That's what I want to hear. And how and where you're listening to awakenings, how is it affecting you? Any suggestions as well? Had some guest suggestions that came in, which is great. And also on Facebook, so I want to let everybody know too, on Facebook, it's Awakenings Radio, and that's another way. And I've been tweeting some stuff there too, some things, some inspirations, some insight, affirmation, and then also some other videos or links that I have found that could be helpful or beneficial for people on this part of their path. So let's see, Little Light, wow, I wonder if the spiritual connection helps her get better hands in her cards. Oh, now that's interesting. I've had a couple, I've not drawn to that kind of stuff, but I've had a couple of situations where I've used my psychic ability, one with lottery numbers, and I didn't follow through because I didn't understand it. So I actually had four numbers out of the five, so I did win something on that. But horse racing years ago as a teenager, I think I was like 14, I gave some the right calls or the right horse, the winning horses to my friend's father and uncle. And then a little bit with cards, but I'm not drawn to that, so it was more for other people. But I bet it does. I mean, you have to ask her if she's ever in the chat room. But I would imagine for being very centered, because I would imagine to play any kind of card game, or poker, or anything like that, that you have to be very patient but very aware of the energy of the other people, what are they giving off, I guess the energy of the card. So I imagine in itself it would be an interesting meditation. So that's a good point, Light. I'm imagining that it would be, you know, kind of revealing if people, you don't want to get thrown off, I would imagine, that you would want to be very centered, but being also very aware, I guess, aware of what's going on around you, what cards people have, or what is their impressions, what are they, what energy they're putting off, or what vibe they're putting off. At the top of the program, I played Happiness by acquaintance friend of mine, Petey, from moontribe.org, something that he had put together. So I was really in my contemplations these days, focusing on the idea of fulfillment and happiness, and how our happiness or our peace of mind or state of mind, it's not about so much of what happens to us, but about how we deal with what happens to us. And we're in this amazing time period from it's been through the last gateway of November, December. And Dr. Jude Kervan touched on this a bit the last time that she was here, but there's just been this turning point since the end of the year right into January, and it's really, the energy is being really emphasized from this January to June time period, this next gateway that's occurring. And a really strong focus or emphasis, and you might want to see how this plays into your life right now, is right relationship, right livelihood, your relationship to yourself, the little self to the higher self. You know, is the ego controlling things, or are you aligned enough that you're trusting the impressions, the insights that you're getting, and following through on that? Do you have a system to check that out, whether journaling or working with someone, working with symbolism, dreams, imagery? I know with a lot of people right now in my practice, I'm working a lot with dream therapy, particularly more from the Jungian and Sanoa focus. Because you're right now, there's so much happening right now that to help us integrate the shadow, these various aspects of ourselves that have been fragmented, whether it's within this layer level of dimension or whether it is other dimensional. So because of that, it is a time of great healing, of coming together within yourself, and then also coming together with others in various forms of healing or group healing. So you're going to see a lot of group work or group consciousness. Okay, I do see in the chat, I want to address this. Seagirl saying, to your friends, please send healing energies to Glenn, my husband who had a horrific day today. Oh, a pit bull killed a one-week-old baby and he had to view the baby. Break up pit bull fight. Deal with media and interview parents. He's a wreck and in pain. Dog is on the way to the shelter now in his truck. Oh, Seagirl, so sorry to hear this. Let us know more. And we'll just take a minute right now, just 30 seconds to send the energy. And just even as we're speaking it, sending that energy through intention and light to Glenn. Yeah, sometimes I'm curious, so Seagirl, if you call in, what does he do? Why was he there and having to break up the fight, you know? So anyway, let us know. I don't know if you feel comfortable calling in or, oh, that's right, and also the call-in number I didn't give everybody. Call-in number is 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122. 5122. And sometimes, you know, you never know what we're going to have to hold the space for, the healing space for, or be there. Light is asking, has something shifted in the stars or spirit world in the last few days? I've had weeks of extreme irritability, then suddenly 2 days ago felt a wonderful burst of creative energy and wonderful change in mood. Well, that can also be what you're going through. But there are, right now, there are a lot of shifts. We had Mars, of course, go direct, so there was a lot of energy that was internalized that wasn't able to really be moved forward or cycled through, so that's part of it. But you're going to be seeing more of that. And again, a lot of it has to do with integrating the shadow. A lot of it has to do with healing, moving through and into first and through whatever you're going through. And sometimes that can be irritability. Sometimes that can be, you know, depression, anger, confusion. If you stay with it and work through, then there will be this breakthrough. I always call it a breaking down to break through, so that there's this next layer, this next level that is allowed to happen. And we have a call here, 727-645.
Hi, it's Lori.
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
Michelle.
Lori.
Hi.
Oh, gosh. Now, what is your... So you were, just so that the listeners can know, people in the chat know this.
I hate to spread horrible news, but he just got off the phone with me, and he's a wreck, and he can use all the help he can get right now.
Okay. Well, we're prayers to him.
I appreciate that.
And we took some time to send light. So he works in animal control, so he got the message to go get the dog,
right.
I guess.
And he was there before the sheriffs, and he had to then the news media showed up, and he had to view the baby because he has to write that in the report. And when he got there, the pit bull had gotten out of the house and gotten into a fight with a neighbor. Everybody has these pit bulls. And it was in a fight with another pit bull in a neighbor's yard where the dog was chained. And he had to break that up with a control stick and a loop. And as he's pulling the two pit bulls apart, you know, he strained his neck, and the dogs were biting each other. He's trying to put the dog in his truck, and the media is trying to get at him and snap pictures. And now it's going to be all over the news. His boss was calling him, and it's just been horrible. Mm-hmm. Then he has to go and interview the parents at the hospital to find out the who, what, when, where of the whole thing. And he had to deal with distraught parents, and just a terrible day. And it's like the bite attacks keep just doubling around here, and they're all pit bulls. This is in Florida.
Yeah, I've seen more trucks. Actually, in my area, too, I'm in Southern California, I've seen more animal control trucks, lots of them. One day I saw like four or five. So is there some kind of campaign or something?
Well, here they're laying off. This is what's so upsetting. In our county, the Pasco County keeps saying that they're short on the budget, and they've been through like three layoffs, which is why he's in this department to begin with. He was an electrical inspector, and he got laid off from there, and that's why he's here now. And they're talking about now laying off more, and they can't lay off emergency response people, and that's what they're thinking is, using less officers and extending their zone, but yet their bites are doubling, and it's making no sense.
Well, I've never seen that. I think all the time that I've lived here, I've never seen a truck, maybe one.
Right.
In, I don't know, 5-6 years. And now all of a sudden, I'm just seeing tons. You know, well, I saw four or five, and then the other day I saw one driving, and I'm like, what are they looking for? Where do they?
Dogs at large. That's what we get. There's a lot of calls for dogs. There are people letting them running around the neighborhood rather than controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
And then kids are getting attacked, and dogs are getting attacked, and it's been rough.
Well, they got a train. They got a train. I don't know. They got a train. I was walking the other day to the beach, actually, near where I live, and there was kids, 16, 17, maybe 14, 15, 16, 17 at the oldest, with three. They all had pit bulls on the chains. And my little dog, Yoshi, if anybody's seen my little... So I just picked her up because they were pulling, and I said, you guys got to, and the dog was like trying to lunge, and I'm like, you have to train your dogs. And then the one kid like hit the one dog, and I said, please don't hit your dog, like to train him. He was saying, no, back. And I said, that breeds aggression. I said, don't do that. I said, watch the dog whisper.
Exactly. I don't know. It's like a status symbol for these kids to have those dogs. It's a status symbol down here.
Mm-hmm. On the videos. It's in the videos. Yep. And but the dog is, you know, the kid is 80 pounds, 85, you know, thin, skinny, lanky kid. And the dog, I'm like just going, okay, the dog. I have pepper spray. I have a little pink.
Right.
I got it at the, camping store, whatever, sports store. Yeah. And a little pink one. And hopefully
I carry an ASP, the expandable baton, just in case. I have a Doberman, but I don't want a pit bull coming out after my dog either. So I'm going to write to the media and to the county and tell them if they have ideas of cutting the services for the county anymore, they're crazy. That's for sure.
Well,
I thank you for the moment there, and I really hope that it helps them.
Yeah, well, let him know. I'm sure he will. I'm sure it's just going to, he'll have you when he comes home. I'm sure he's going to really need to debrief and really, you know.
Yeah, that image of the baby is just stuck in his head right now. Yeah, that's awful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And it'll be later, I'll keep open to it.
Then his face is plaster all over the news tonight,
In his, boy, I wonder how they got in there, how it got in.
The dog was in the house with, I guess, this very young girl and boyfriend that had this baby. The boyfriend was at work. She didn't live in this house. Why she was in, I think it was a trailer. Why she was in this trailer, I don't know, but they said she was sleeping in one room, put the baby to bed in the other, and a neighbor, for some reason, went to check on her, and she heard her screaming, knocked in the front door. So these weren't her dogs, must be the boyfriend's house, and she was over there sleeping, and left her baby in the other room, and for some reason the pit bull didn't like it and killed it.
Mm-mm-mm.
You gotta be careful with your
baby. Yeah. Well, they also say you should start with any dog anyway. you should, months before the baby is brought home, you start getting
right.
it with the smells and get
yes.
it sensitized and, you know, to baby stuff. And
right. These are young
clothes.
Kids. You know, these are kids
yeah.
themselves that had this baby, and they're not married. They were just, you know, doing their own thing, and that tragedy happens.
Mm.
You got to be
well,
aware.
Send them like awareness, and well, they'll be aware now. That's for sure. It'll be a... But your husband's name is Glenn.
I don't want to be a downer, so...
No, no, but that's what we're all here... That's what we're all here for, that, you know, to be there for each other, you know?
Yeah.
And no reason why not to take a minute to share on this and also just to send some healing light. You know, just that focus. You never know. Someone may be inspired to take a whole campaign up on this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If they see the news report tonight, it'll be something.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Lori. Thanks for calling in.
You're
and
welcome. Thanks for listening.
Give your hubby a hug, okay?
I for sure
all
will.
Of us. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy, you just never know what's going to happen in life. But I think the best thing is the reaching out. We've got to, you know, that reaching out to each other so that... just to talk, to let it out, whatever it is, not to leave stuff bottled inside. So, Lori, thanks for that. Thanks for that call. And then it gave us a chance to send some healing light to people and just hold that space for something life-enhancing, something transformative to come out of this situation. So I want to tell everybody a little bit about our guest today, and many of you may know of her already. She also hosts a program here on Blog Talk Radio. We have today Liara Corvair, who considers herself a cosmic dancer, leading you ever inward to the magnificent presence of yourself. She also has the belief that every human being has the options to raise awareness and take new levels of responsibility for his or her life. She was raised in a family of scientists and physicians, and she has distinguished herself as a metaphysician, world emissary, and spiritual healer. Liara's work has taken her to more than 55 countries where she's engaged in scientific and environmental research, education regarding the International Space Station. So I look forward to having her very much on the program. And we have caller two. 206, is that you, Teresa? Call back. Deja Vu, is that you? I didn't know if it's the caller, Teja, my guest or not, because I don't know the number that they're calling in from. Okay, let's see. Seagull, if you can't go to spiritual people for sport, who can you? Very, very true, Lori. Yeah, very true. It's, okay, so I was about to get to that call, 206. I'm not sure who you are, but if you want to call back. Anyway, so let's see, I've heard that an earthquake in Newsboro adds for lost dogs. I think feel the irritability that dogs feel. Maybe our magnetic poles are reversing or something. Well, there is, and you know, we are in that ring of fire time. But you know, one thing I think people to remember is that it's not so much that it's earth changes happening to us. It's that the earth, the planets are actually aspects of us, or we're aspects of them, however you want to look at it. So really one and the same, right? So as we're shifting in our little life, because we are that resonant field, we are the field of the all that is, morphing into different forms, just our physicalness, our physicality, our denser physical form that we're interacting with on this layer, this dimension, if you will, is that reflecting consciousness. So we're reflecting through the changes and co-creating the changes and doing the empowerment, if you will. We're in the process as it's happening to us, but we're reflecting consciousness. But we're the aspect of reflecting consciousness. The planets, the earth, just are. They don't necessarily need to reflect, but we are part of that. So they are going through the changes as we're going through in different ways, but similar. You know, people are going through their own inner earthquake, their own shifting. So that shifting reverberates out, as some would say, and some say it reverberates inward, you know, as above is so below, as within, as without. So you're going to see more of this awareness of, as there is more shifting of consciousness, it's to become more awake, more aware, and live in this state. That's why it's so important, so that there's less fragmentation, there's less separation, that we're seamless. So people live more of a seamless life, whether it's astral plane, spiritual plane, etheric plane, or denser physical plane, that all those are being able to be experienced either simultaneously or weaving in and out, so that we have more of that awareness, so we're living our fullness, the totality of who we are. So it's really about stepping into that and having that awareness, and we call that also the veils being lifted or dissolved. So those veils of separation bring an awareness, a knowledge, and then to be able to live that. And that's really what the awakening or the succession of awakenings is all about. Okay, we have a caller here. Did you have a question? I believe it's a Skype caller. Did you have a question or a comment? Okay. Let's see, hanging up call. Okay. So we do have people calling in, and I see pressing 1. So if you're pressing 1, I'm thinking you have a question or a comment. So don't press 1 if you don't want to be heard, I guess. is a way to look at it. But if you do. So anyway, going back to that reflecting consciousness is important, because the more conscious we are, the more awake we are, the more aware we are, the more we can become consciously part of the co-creative process. So on some level, we're always creating. It's, are we creating consciously? That's the key. So as we become more awake, more aware, then we begin to live in that state of awareness, and we begin to respond in that state of awareness. It becomes, instead of reacting or reacting from a ego personality level only, or reacting from a conditioned response layer or level, we begin to respond, because in the reflecting consciousness, when we move, first the reflecting comes in, and then we move into that space of oneness, or that seamlessness. And in that space of oneness or seamlessness, we begin to respond to the higher impulses or the higher call, and not so much the smaller impulses or the constructed ego or the lower level. So it's amazing, amazing time that we live in, that this is more heightened, because we're able really, really to see, especially right now. You're really seeing. Anybody want to call in on this? 347-539-5122, and let me know your thoughts on this. There really is right now, you're seeing a emphasizing of the polarity. We've always had, you know, we've been living through contrast of light and dark, that which is revealed, that which is hidden within ourselves and within others, not understanding the unseen or that which isn't tangible or that we can't connect to. So there's been this contrasting energy, that this polarity that plays out, or this duality that plays out, that is going to be heightened for quite a period of time, really emphasized, where you're going to see people in camp A, camp B, us against them, right and wrong. You're going to see that as a fever pitch, but then underneath that, there is this connection of the oneness, the awareness of our interconnection to everything and everyone. So because of that, it's both happening at the same time simultaneously, that it peaks of the separation while the bridge, as we call the bridge of oneness, is created, that awareness is brought forward more and more. And it's happening in little pockets. It's happening in pockets throughout, you know, the universe, if you will, throughout the world. It's the pockets that are coming in and bringing the oneness and then seaming that together, almost like satellite stations where they're beamed, or a network computer where one is connected to another, where they seem to be separate, but there is a connection from the one computer to the next computer to the next computer. People will be start being more aware of this connection and how this connection feels and how it manifests. People will be able to see that this connection manifests in a certain way, or it's palpable. You can definitely feel the connection. It's not just intellectually seeing it. And so at a time period when this fever pitch happens, there will be some situations that occur, some quite challenging, some very, on a human level, some very rewarding, that bring people more together so that there's less and less of the division, less and less of the separateness. And that's a big part also of the ascending or the ascension. Lightest thing, when I see so many natural disasters in such a short span of time, I wonder, are we as a whole civilization, do we need more compassion, and are we given opportunities to show this? Absolutely. Absolutely, you're giving opportunities to show this, and not from an intellectual level, but from a yearning level, from a level of wanting to connect. Compassion and changing our focus and to visualize a stable planet and honor Gaia, that's Queen Goddess. Yes, absolutely. Well, and again, it's not so, like I said at the top of the program, about happiness. It's not so much about what happens to us, but what we do with it. So even in these kinds of situations, do we look at these situations to bring more oneness, more life enhancement, do more understanding, or do we use it to create separation? And if we're creating separation and division, then we're not living out that higher vibrational frequency. We can be separate. We can have preferences. We can have likes and dislikes. As long as we're allowing others to have also their preference, to find that way to have that cohesiveness, which, of course, cohesiveness does come from a state of compassion. It's hard to come together in something when you can't find some compassion or even understanding. In the Navajo tradition, understanding is to stand under and look. So in other words, until you're in my shoes, or I can stand under your life and look up at it and figure it out, then I don't really know you. Then I don't really know what you're going through. And so to move more into that heart-centered awareness, to say, wow, maybe something is going on here. You know, I had a situation the other day of something that I'm going to be doing on a media level, and people had gotten back to me and then hadn't gotten back in a while, and I thought, don't take it personal, let's just see what's going on. And it turned out that the individual that I'd be working with had a family, you know, crisis, tragedy. So again, so not to create the separation of, hey, email me back, or what's going on, or, you know, not to get into that posturing position, but to relax back into the oneness and say, probably something's going on, I'll check back in when I feel the shift. And of course we did, and it was revealed what was going on. So in a way, it's for people not to have such a quick hair trigger about things, but to just take a breath. Just take a breath and ask, what's really going on here? You know, instead of worrying about the worst, which, what is that? Our fear. How am I going to look? What's it going to look like? Chronic fear, not acute fear of something going on, but chronic fear. Let's see if this is our guest here. Liara, is this you? Hello? Okay, I've got a few people on the line that aren't, maybe you've walked away, or maybe it's not the guest, but let's see, Debbie's putting acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. Absolutely. It has to do with accepting what is. What's that serenity prayer? Something grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and wisdom to know the difference. And until we move more into that space, which gets back to the shadow, until we integrate the shadow aspects of this, of us, and this, you know, unfolding that we're on, until we bring those fragmented aspects of us back, and even just energetically calling in that energy, and until we lessen our hardened stance, then you're going to find that there are these, you know, situations of standoff, you know, where for no rhyme or reason that somebody is, you know, almost holding back, you know, almost holding themselves back is really what it is. It's a holding back of the person, of the individual, of the situation. It's a holding back of somebody's desires, to hold oneself back. And why do we hold ourselves back? Is because there's fear there, so we feel separate. We feel not enough, not good enough. We feel, you know, not understood. We don't want to understand somebody else because maybe it challenges our position or our point of view, so we hold back. Or we cut off. So that's another thing you're going to be seeing, is the whole idea of not cutting off. You know, because as we're more into that, the enacting the vibrational frequency of resonance, as we're looking at that universal law of resonance, what is resonating with me? Let's see, light is putting, I wish I could get to the point where others don't offend me, reaching total non-judgment and acceptance. Well, you can be offended, but it's just how long do you stay there? We're just talking about chronic states. You can, you know, you can have a fleeting moment, but if you catch yourself and move in. I was talking to someone the other day. We're doing a reading, and it was interesting. What was being revealed was their whole needing to be liked, needing to fit in. And so they were attracting the shadow aspect of not being liked, not fitting in, and things being very, cut off or distance with certain individuals. So I said, what you have to do is take back that shadow material. You have to take back that part that says, you know, I have to be liked, I have to fit in. Sometimes you're not going to. There's a 1%, a 3% that things that happen in the universe that have nothing to do with you. It's not all projection. It's not all your mental state or your mindset. It is if you insert yourself into the situation and take it personally. So, light, this is something in a sense for you, what you're talking about. We get offended when we insert ourselves in the situation, or we insert ourselves that something is about us. So in other words, somebody can have a bad day and maybe they snap at us. We become offended because we think, oh, they're doing this to us, when it just may be their day. It just may be something, you know, but we do this. We tend to, you know, years ago when I was studying in England, one of my teachers told an amazing story that I think really illustrates this, of a man on the metro that the subway that had two kids, and they were just very unruly, and this person was trying to read I guess on the tube. What's it called, the tube? I've lived a lot of different places, so it's called a different place. It's the subway, it's the metro, it's the L, it's the tube in some place. So anyway, this person couldn't read, and just the kids were just running around, and she was steaming about it, just steaming. Oh, you're not taking care of your children, and, you know, and was rehearsing in her mind what she was going to say and how she was going to tell him, you know, what was right and, you know, what's fair for other people. And just as she was about to, he leaned over. And the kids had come back, and he says in her ear, thank you so much for your patience, because the children just lost their mother, and I know they're a little unruly, but we're just coming back from the hospital, and she just died. And she was like, oh my God, I am so glad I didn't say anything, you know, rehearsing for many, whatever, blocks or miles, what she was going to say. And then it turns out there was nothing to be said, because it wasn't about her. So when we integrate that shadow aspect, we realize that it's not all about us. And even people that we put on a pedestal, like, I want to be them, and we don't recognize our own truth, our own talents, our own divine talents or inner wisdom, our gifts. If we're not actualizing our gifts, and we are, you know, praising a false idol, following a false, which means something outside of ourselves, we're making someone else our God, then we're the shadow also. Someone may say it's a nice shadow because, you know, you're giving people compliments. It's not to say you don't want to give compliments, but you want to watch it. If you're doing that too much, are you complimenting yourself? Are you understanding yourself? Are you validating yourself, appreciating yourself and your gifts, your talents, your peace that you've brought into the universe? If you're doing that, as well as recognizing other people's, then you're integrating that shadow. But if you're not, if it's everything's outside you, all the gifts, all the talents are outside you, you're not integrating the shadow. And the same thing, if it's all the irritations are outside you, all the anger's outside you, all the fear's outside, it's other people, what they're doing, then you're not integrating the shadow. And you can't ascend without the integration. You can't move into flow, the flow state, without the integration. You can't live spirit-led without the integration. You have to continually be integrating these parts, honoring and loving these parts. As somebody put in the chat room, accepting these parts. If you accept these parts, then your vibrational frequency naturally goes up, because you don't have mental, emotional, or energetic blocks. There's not, everything is linking up. It's aligned. You become that spiral of light, and you live that spiral of light. This is why, and some of you, I have shared this before, that, and I actually have a write-up on it on my website, and also there's the Universal Laws CD, Understanding the Universal Laws and Activating the Law of Magnetic Attraction. Because we are moving, and you've heard me talk about this with some of the guests that we've had on that are working with sacred geometry or sound, vibration and sound. Because we're integrating, we're clearing and freeing up the emotional aspect of us, the energy in motion, we're clearing the astral plane is basically what it is, from all the images that are hanging, and from those images, the energetic complexes or matrixes that are hanging there that are basically clogging up the highway. You know, clogging up the software. You know, it's like defragging your computer. It's like cleaning the junk. You maybe have too many files on the computer, and it's getting slower. It's bogging down. So we have these files, you know, mental, emotional files, energetic files, etheric files, but they also hang as, you know, in this holographic universe that we're a part of and that we are, these files, so to speak, hang in the astral plane. You know, nothing leaves until enough of this energy is cleared, and the picture, the image, the outpicturing no longer needs to be there. That's why you see things over time be extinct, or whether it's even language or certain types of people or certain focuses, they just become no more. Well, that means they're no longer hanging in the astral plane. They're gone. They as is, they go back into the universe, they go back into the oneness. But until the duality is shifted, until the polarity plane is played out, until the contrast of light and dark is played out, it holds those things like a placeholder. It holds them there until the charge is gone, the energy that is holding it there is gone, and then it dissipates. And that's actually how we shift. That's the recalibrating or the requalifying the energy so that it's not held in place. It's up-level. You know, you've seen this sometimes when something very tragic happens in a certain building or a certain house or an area, a lot of times people want to tear that down and build something else out. So it's taking that energy and changing it. I didn't, like, tell me about what your question is. Is it on that? I haven't seen that yet. Avatar, she's asking me about. I saw Ghost Rider, the Roman Polanski film, lately, but I haven't gotten to the other one. But so anyway, when these contrasts, after they've been played out, you know, on this layer, this level, this dimension, there's corresponding frequency to it, energetically, that hangs in the balance on the etheric plane and the astral plane. So they either get cleared there or they get cleared where we play them out. So why is the law of resonance so important then? Why am I always talking about this? Because if you follow the resonance, you bypass your ego mind. You bypass thinking. And we've been a society, we've been a group, a culture as a whole, a lot on thinking, a lot on analyzing, the analytical, the intellectual, the academic. And there's been a split, and then there's been a lot that have been what we call the emos, you know, the emotional types. I always say this is our Lemurian and Atlantean split, so those that are more intellectual or head-based and those that are more emotional-based. But it's gone to intellectualism and it's gone to emotionalism. And so as those play out, that's what fundamentalism is. It's that intellectualism taking to such a fever pitch that it becomes fanatic energy and also frantic energy, because it's about ideas. It's not about feeling nature. It's not about a feeling of what's right, and it's not about intuition. But you'll notice that people that are fanatical, it's about a doctrine. It's about something that was written. And I know this is right because it was written, and it's about an interpretation. So it's very much on the mental plane that gets played out to a high level of intensity on the emotional plane. It gets fueled by unhandled emotions, unhandled emotional body. And it gets triggered by the images that remain that are similar on the astral plane. However, if people move into resonance, then they begin to become spirit-led, where they begin to listen to the nudges, and I know we have nudges in the chat room, of their spirit, of the all that is. And the all that is always leads us to that which is for the highest good. It also includes the shadow and the light, the up and the down, the black and the white, the in and the out. It includes the polarity, but it rises above the polarity. And that's essentially what the ascension is rising above, ascending above the dual plane, the contrast, and resting in the center. And so when you follow the resonance, when you're guided by what are you really resonating towards, what resonates for you, what feels like it's just right, even if a belief, it feels right, it's working, it's life-enhancing. When you follow the resonance, you have preferences, but you don't have likes and dislikes. You're not so fixed. You're not fixated on something, because there's this general shifting that's taking place. It's a very subtle. The subtle energy is guiding you to more and more life enhancement. But it may not make sense to the rational mind. It may not make sense to the ego mind, and it might even bump up against some of your belief systems. You know, I had a situation, I was, I feel intuitive things, but at some point my mind wants to catch up and understand. Oh, that's very normal, and that's great. As long as the mind does, like, and that's why we have mind. It's about analyzing and facilitating things. But you don't want the mind, that aspect of the mind, the analytical mind, to be leading. You know, if you're saying to yourself, well, I just don't understand, well, you're probably in the middle of a shift. I have someone I'm working with that's always saying, I just don't understand, I'm so confused. Well, that means you're being led somewhere. There's an unfolding that's happening to you. You're at a different level. And when we're at a new level, we don't understand things. When we're at a new level, we do have some confusion. But if somebody is overly result-oriented or overly left-brain focused, they're going to be trying to understand the confusion, and you just can't understand confusion. It's like what Light said earlier that in the chat, she was saying that she went through a few days of irritation, then all of a sudden it just shifted, and everything was okay. Everything felt okay. So that's what I'm talking about. So it's not – sometimes we know what the irritation is about, and that's fine, but sometimes we don't. And if we're overly analyzing, if we're overly analytical, we're trying to analyze what the irritation is. And sometimes it's just a clearing. There's a shifting going on. Remember, there's a lot of work that you're doing, you know, unconsciously or subconsciously. The analytical aspect of you is only, you know, aware of, you know, a very small, you know, 10% of what's going on. Can you be focused on? So you may set up something. You may be reading something. You may be triggered in a life-enhancing way and having a shift, you know. Let's see. I'm calling from, are you online? Okay, we got a message from Liara. Because I don't see her. Okay. So I'm typing, if you hear me. Click, 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 click. Let's see, call in now. Thank you. Okay. So again, we don't want to be so caught up in trying to analyze. So if you're feeling confusion, if you're feeling uncertainty, you're at a new level. There's a new level of enfoldment. There's something new that's emerged through you that your rational mind, your analytical mind, doesn't understand. That part of you, the ego part, the personality, is going, this is something new. So the ego part of us, the rational analyzing part of us, only knows what's happened before. And to a degree, somewhat in the present, but usually it's past focus and future focus. It's trying to plan something and it's trying to figure out or process or analyze what's already happened. But if you're completely in the present moment, there's a spontaneity there because you have to respond. You can't pre-plan it. You're in the moment. You can't plan it, but you can experience it. But you can reflect back on it, but that's going back into the analyzing mind. So when you're following the resonance, when you're connecting to the resonance, you're being nudged or guided through the subtle energy to that which is most life-enhancing for you and all parts of you, all aspects of you, past, present, and future. But your analytical mind won't understand it. And so until you've trained that part of you to just respond, which meditation is wonderful for that, you train the analytical mind, the analyzing mind, to go, oh, confusion, new, something new, learning something new. I just don't understand. Of course I don't understand because it's something new and I'm in the moment. And then eventually you don't even have those questions. You don't even have those dialogues anymore because that part of you is more comfortable being in the space of the unknowable. That's why they call it the unknowable. The Nordic tradition, Odin, God, the all that is, the connection, the center point of the all that is the place of the unknowable. In the Kabbalah, it's called Das. It's the part where you do something. There's a risk. There's the void. It's also called the void. The great womb. It's also called the materia, prima materia. It's the original matter. It's the center of everything. It's the darkness. It's before something's taken form. Because, see, the analytical mind only knows form, and it wants to hold on to that, which is form. But the womb, the darkness, the shadow, is the area of the formlessness. It's what we don't know. We're either ignorant of it or it hasn't yet been created. It hasn't yet materialized. So that non-materialization doesn't mean that it's, again, if people are overly left brain focused, are going to fear that instead of embrace that. And I want to know from any of you, how do you embrace this? How do you embrace this, the das, as we say in the Kabbalah? How do you embrace the unknown or the unknowable? How do you embrace it and how do you live in that? Mystics have talked about this. If you live in that space of resonance, you automatically enact or engage or activate the law of magnetic attraction. You naturally magnetize to you, which is in alignment with your soul path, your soul unfolding, which is also in alignment with your personality. Your preferences are in there. It just naturally happens. It's amazing. But when you try to focus on the result first, it stops the flow. Light is saying by trust and faith. Yeah, those are trust, faith, inner faith, believing. And it's, and we go through this. We go through just having faith, learning to trust, then believing something. We believe it's going to happen, and then we know. We move into inner knowing. But every time we move to a new level, we have to go back to that faith. I know this is going to happen, or I know it's unfolding for my highest good because it always has, or it has in the past. We go back to that faith. And then the belief kicks in. I believe that it's going to happen because it's happened before. I believe I'll be taken care of. I believe I'll have the answer that I need. And then it plays out, and then it's an inner knowing. Then we go back, and we live in that place for inner knowing for a while. I just know. But at some point, and it's not to say you're off path, at some point you move into a space that's so unfamiliar that you go back to faith. And then your belief systems. Hopefully you have some belief systems in that support you. But sometimes your belief systems are changing also. There's such a deep change on such a foundational level. And because of that belief system changing, you have to go back to faith and trusting that you are getting the right message. You are on the right path. Because you have to trust that part of you. But if you're not comfortable doing that, it's very hard. It's very hard to do. You block it. And in a way, so much of what we're talking about is having those tools, getting to the space where you can rely on that part of you to be there. You know that part is always there. It's always been there. That power and presence within, that higher self, that expanded consciousness, the part of you that is aware of the unified field and is always living in that space. It's the part that's not individuated out yet. And Light is saying, you would think that knowing is in the brain, but it's also in your spiritual, which is even stronger. No, absolutely not in the brain. It's an energetic thing. It's something so palpable, and it's actually in the heart. The brain of the heart, if you want to call it. The knowing is in the heart. That's the seat of the soul. The anahata center is that space in between the in breath and the out breath. That anahata center, that seat of the soul, is the beginning of the formalization of the body, the body-mind. It's connecting to the denser levels or the material levels, the materialized levels, the denser layer levels of existence. And as we extend or expand or send, we go more into the subtle energy. And some people say that's going within, and some people say that's going upward and outward or going without. It just depends. It just depends your terminology on this, but the knowing is more of a sensory level. It's more of a sensing. Any question? Okay, I've got an email question on that. Okay, so we got a question. How do I know this and how do I trust this? Okay, got a Twitter question here and an email question. How do we know this? Some of that is that faith and that trust, but you know it by trusting it, taking that risk, and then seeing it play out or pan out. And so through a contemplation meditation, through reflecting back in, you observe. You go into the witness state and observe how this has happened before. So sometimes we do have to, what we say transpersonally and in analytical hypnotherapy, you have to suspend disbelief. You might not yet be at a level of believing, so you have to suspend the disbelief and say, maybe, maybe. And Lida saying, time teaches that your trust is valid. Yes, yes. So because we are in the, you know, as we're talking right now, this part of us that's living out this state of existence on this layer, this dimension, some of it has to be played out, feeling your way through your feeling experiences, bringing them back into your awareness. We have to contemplate, and that's time, space-time continuum. In a certain amount of space, something occurs, and that what is occurring in that space creates time, and as we reflect back over time, we see how something has played out. So we are, you know, part of what we're doing here and experiencing is that mechanical universe, that where things have to be built, there's a process, there are steps. We can skip steps. There's sometimes you're going and doing something step by step, step by step, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, you skip a step or you skip a lot of steps. But basically, we have to have that process because that's what we're playing with here. That's what we're doing here. So it's being a part of that process and facilitating it in the process. And from that, that's where we glean our beliefs. This happens, that happens, that happened. If you do this, you do that, and we put it together. But it's also not to hold on to it so rigidly, so tightly. Light is saying part of acceptance is letting go of the left brain grip on your understanding. Yes. You know, it's integrating both, but not to be dominant. You know, not to be the left brain, you know, is like a linear processor. You know, it's serial. It's a serial processor. A, B, C, D, E, 1, 2, 3, 4. It only knows those steps and it only knows things in chronological order and it only knows what's happened before and it predicts by what's happened before will happen now. Whereas your, you know, right brain connecting into infinite mind is nonlinear. It's a spiral. It brings them all together. It goes 2 steps forward and 20 steps back and 2 million forward and to the left and to the right and somehow it's able to bring it all together. It's able to put all the pieces together and pieces that don't even seem to fit. And that's why when you're connecting into that aspect of you, you're going beyond the little you, the part of you that's experienced this situation and sometimes feels it, you know, limited by what it knows, you're going into that infinite mind or divine mind. You're going into the creative mind. And that mind is an aspect of you, or you're an aspect of that. But you rise out of the analyzing, the understanding. You move into the insight, the flashes of insight, awareness. Oh, yes, Queen Goddess. You were speaking on the similar thought this morning. When you step into new dimensions, there are different rules. Yes. Yes, and people need to be flexible. See, that's one reason the mystics developed yoga, or what was given to them, yoga and meditation, which yoga being a physical meditation, is because it was believed that flexibility of body-mind, you know, you have your beliefs, you have something that supports you on your path, but you want to have the spine flexible. You want to keep that flexibility, and having the spine flexible is a metaphor for having a flexible life, because different dimensions, different unfoldment, layer of unfoldment, there becomes less right and wrong. You know? It becomes less pointed. It becomes less defined. Because what do we have when we have definition? We have separation. And again, not that it's bad, but what it is it is separating out. So when we have too much separation, us and them and me, we lower the vibrational frequency. We get to things separating out more and more. That's why as you ascend, as you move in, as Queen Goddess is saying, into different dimensions, as you expand your dimensional awareness, as you're living more expanded, then you're beginning to live more simultaneously. Your consciousness is blending, merging, harmonizing. There is a connection to the spiritual plane, the astral plane, the mental plane. There's connections to past parts of you, future parts of you. You can actually do a processing of that, interplane processing, where you're connecting in with these aspects of you. Because they are all you. They're happening. We can put them in a context of past, present, and future, but we can also expand into a context of it all happening now on different layers, levels, or dimensions. But you're the center point. As reflecting consciousness, you're the center point of these layer levels and dimensions. And so you can connect in to that aspect of you that knows this, understands this, and lives this. And actually, I said understands even beyond understanding. It just is. That's the space of I am that I am. God is I am. I am that unified field of consciousness. I am connected to everything and everyone. I know that connection. I am that connection. I respond from that connection. Or you can say, I am this individuated aspect called Michelle or Gary in the chat or Light or Debbie or Queen Goddess or Vina or Nudget. I am that. That is me. But if we say that is me too much, that we're living in the separation, the apparent separation, because we're really not, we're living too much from the individuated aspect, the identity. But we are here to play and enjoy our identities. We are here to see what matters to us. What is the matter? What matters to us? We're here to play out our individuality. We're here to play in that, oh, I like it this way, or I wear that, or I look at that, or I like that book, or that music. We're here to play that out, but not to the exclusion of the truth of our oneness. So it's almost like if I'm looking at my hand, it's like my thumb doing a little dance, and I'm moving my thumb, and my thumb is like, you know, I'm making circles with my thumb right now. I'm looking at my japa ring. My meditation ring is on my thumb. And the other fingers are just pointing straight up, and they're not moving. But that doesn't mean the thumb is cut off from the hand. But it wants to move a different way. And maybe I'm moving my pinky only, or my middle finger, or my ring finger. Or maybe I'm moving my ring finger and my pinky together and not the thumb. Or maybe I'm moving the ring finger and the pinky finger and the thumb together, but the other fingers aren't moving, but they're all connected. We are here, each and every one of us, as a piece of this cosmic puzzle. Not only are what we have to say and do and how we say and do and how we live our life, not only is that very important, but it's actually integral. To have the healing, to have the cosmological, the cosmic healing, every piece is needed. Everyone is needed and necessary. Has to be here, has to express an experience. Otherwise, there's not the completion. So enough of us, and Queen Goddess is saying, you are everything and everything is me, a song of light. Absolutely. The universe. I love it. If you look at the word universe, It literally means one verse out of many. So we live in this universe with all these verses, all these individual verses, but the universe, the little verses, make up the universe. That one verse, that one song, that there are many phrases in the song, many lyrics, if you will, that song of life, but there are many lyrics, and there are many songs within the song, but it's one main song. And it's easier to live this way and to step into this, to go to that next level, to allow that emergence to come in, if you're going more by resonance, if you're going more by what is creating expansion for your life, enhancement for you in your life. If you're following the resonance, if you're being guided by the resonance, then you are enacting and engaging closer and closer to your vibrational frequency, your true frequency. And how does our frequency manifest? It manifests through thoughts, feelings, ideas, beliefs. So if I'm living somebody else's thoughts, feelings, ideas, and beliefs, and not truly my own, then I'm off pitch. I'm off key, right? I'm on somebody else's frequency, somebody else's key or pitch. And, of course, if I take that back further, it begins off pitch, off key, off signature frequency. Have that frequency. So the more that I'm living in alignment with my soul's unfoldment, my soul's path and purpose, and allowing my spiritual nature to guide me, that subtle energy, then I'm getting back in alignment to my signature frequency, my main frequency. Then I'm on path on an energetic level, not just a mental, emotional level or belief system level. So we've got a caller here. Hello, 661-332. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Michelle. It's Charles. Talked to you a few times on Twitter. I go by the name of Mono Poly on Twitter.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, yeah.
Hi,
I've been working on an album that's done for about 2 years. And recently, it's been like so much delay in getting it done. And I was listening to your show, and you were talking about how some things that they have that delay in it, and it's sometimes it's like the higher self or something intervening. And I don't know, I wanted to know what you see in that. And also, I'm trying to move to LA soon.
Oh, good.
I'm just kind of confused. Like the past few days have been kind of weird. And
in what way? Because a lot of people are feeling that energy that you're talking about, that things have been kind of weird the last few days.
Yeah, yeah. I've been paying attention when you guys were talking about the whole Uranus and Aries thing, and I see that moving in because my energy and what I see, I'm like Aquarius, and it's like the whole Uranian energy. I know what this is because this is exactly my personality, you know? And,
yeah,
like, the whole album is really revolutionary. I mean, it talks about a lot of things that's going on in government, and then it goes from a dark, it's pretty much representing unconscious to conscious. At the end, it goes into, like, fireworks, which it shows the whole crown chakra thing, and it just goes from a darker to a lighter tone. And I don't know. I know it's going to do well. I feel that it's going to do well within my circle, but I just want to know what's the whole delay thing. It's just,
well,
I actually
first,
changed
I have a
the song
things.
In between that time too, because I felt like,
yeah,
I changed the song in the it was the vibrations. It was supposed to be a representation of the Vishuddha vibration. And one of the songs that I had when I made it, I was like, wait, I don't know if this is going to work. And I was going to have it like that way, but then something told me to change it. I don't know if it was just me being paranoid or whatever. So I changed it, and I went to a song that fit more to me. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just firing away with all these questions and all this stuff. But Yeah, I just wanted to know what you see with this.
A couple things that you're bringing up. First of all, when you called and mentioned about the delay, I heard you have more learning to do and more integrating.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been in process, too, with this
album. Yeah, I feel that, yeah.
Yeah. So I do feel that delay. Really, you're going to find things springing forward for a lot of people in June. You're really going to find, like, new openings, new doors opening, windows opening, flashes of insight, movements, and action. Then it may calm down a little bit, and then you're going to see again end of August, September, and into October things. You may even find yourself moving or finding the wherewithal to move at that time. But it's also interesting. I had this morning in my meditation, and I actually had said this to a friend the night before, that, wow, technology finally caught up with my ideas. So many things, I mean, even before iTunes started taking,
this whole album, yeah, it caught up with what I've been trying to do, and I've been actually...
That's what I was going to say. A lot of things that are happening right now for people, a lot of your downloads, your creativity, your self-expression, your innovations, there's not... the delay is either the people aren't quite ready or the technology's not quite there, but mm-hmm. getting there. So especially if you have a lot of Aquarius in your chart, which I do as well. So if you've got a lot of that Aquarian energy, it's not that the timing, you've got the right time, you've got the idea, but the divine right timing is there needs to be the outlet, there needs to be the way. I've been working on a few projects myself that it's been over a year, and it's like now it's like domino effect. It's coming through. It's
lining
up.
Yeah, that's what happened with this album.
You
yeah.
see?
It was,
but now know, Charles, I was going to say, but just know that all the work that you did before was needed and necessary and was part of the process as you were clearing, getting clear and emotionally clear. And also I feel for you, you're getting more and more dedicated. You're more dedicated now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, and I do feel, now why do I also feel the South, Atlanta or something, Atlanta music scene, or do you know people there?
That was the thing. I had this mini DV cam because we shot an interview because it's going to be a USB album too. It's going to be, and that's one of the things with me and my manager we've been talking about. He's having problems getting this USB thing put into stores because it's been rarely done, and only a few people have actually done this. But yeah, he's having problems with getting that in stores. But what they're gonna do is just sell it from online if they can't get it in. But so I was doing a bonus video for that USB, and we got a camera, we rented a camera, and then after we were done with it, I couldn't import the USB video to my computer because we didn't have the cam, and then at the time I thought that I could use the cam that I had in my house, but I couldn't find the adapter, and then it took like another week or so, and I was just getting really impatient. I was like, why is this so hard to have happen? Because I was wanting it to be out like May, but I just told myself just to be patient. And then, so I actually found a friend in Bakersfield that was willing to help me do it. And then I tried to contact him, and I didn't get word after a while. And I was like, wow, what's going on? So I sent the DV, the mini DV, to Atlanta because that's what my manager told me, if I couldn't get anybody to get down here. Yeah. So
that's why I felt Atlanta,
because
it seems like a connection there as well. There's some opening. But I want to say, this is not going to be your end-all, be-all. There's going to be other things and even better than what you're doing. So just get it out there, and if some of the technology isn't there yet for the USB, you can do that later or have a re-release of parts of it in that way.
Yeah, but that's what I've been thinking.
Don't let them perfect, because I do,
way.
Yeah, I do hear from your guy. You've got one guide around you that I want to say is almost like a mathematician that's very precise and likes everything just so and really can.
And that's a big problem I have with myself, yeah.
Yes. So, and then you've got another part that is coming through that is going to free you up more, that is more about connecting, communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your key words for the next two, connecting and communicating, that just wants to get out there and connect and communicate, wants to share, wants to give the words, give the voice. So don't let that one part of you, the mathematician part, the one that's drawing those, you know, numerical symbols or those notes and hearing, oh, that's off pitch and this and that. Don't let that part hold you back. It's an amazing guide for you.
Okay.
It has an amazing way of blending sounds and even ideas and making things really work. But it also likes, however, I should say, it also can be overly perfectionist. Because it hears, oh, that's just off. Oh, that's off. That wasn't supposed to be there. Or I can hear, what's that? Oh, that note. That part will keep you going over and over and over and over something.
Yeah, right? That was the thing that I was talking about when I replaced the song. But I think it fits better now. But I just hate that, because then I'll go back and I got to find something new to, you know, pick on. And I told myself it's good when I finish it. I was like, this is good. It was actually the best thing I've ever made, and I was really honest with myself, and I still found something. I find something about it that I have to.
I know, and you will always. So just let it be. At a certain point, go, human, we're in human world. This isn't computer world, you know, binary world. Let's just let it be, and we'll put it to something else. Because otherwise, you'll never release anything. That part will. And it is very good, you know. It is very good. Thank you, Charles, for calling in.
Thank you, Michelle. Really, really
great
appreciate
to hear you. We look forward to. Thanks, and look forward to hearing your music.
Yeah, I'll send it over. Actually. Soon.
Very cool. That'd be cool. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Hi, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle.
I think it's Skype. Oh, hi.
Hi, I was just calling to say how nice to have the synchronicity flowing the way it's flowing today.
It is flowing. Well, it seems like a lot of synchronicity of thought, right, with everybody a little bit. There seems to be a similar energy of these. I think you put in their passages, the openings. And so how's your day going?
It's going wonderful. I'm finishing up things like your previous caller, finishing up things that have been on back burners and back burners. And that's exciting. That's exciting to me, because I keep a lot of things on the burners.
Side and back and, yeah. Well, I think people are going to find that some things, old connections, that's another thing that, starting this next gate. Well, it might be starting already for some people, almost like a earlier retrograde, which the retrograde starts, I believe, on the 17th, but especially May, June on this year and into, I would say, mid-2011 is going to be a lot of reconnecting with people from the past, even people that you wanted to do collaborations with or coming together. You're going to see a real coming together. And literally, not just figuratively bumping into people, but even literally go, oh, my God, I haven't seen you. Or, oh, I thought of you. Or, I wanted to do this. Or somebody bumping into someone saying, oh, I thought of you for this job. Or I know about this. Or someone saying, I needed a job. Or I want to collaborate on here. I want to do this. Oh, I have the person. Or I can do it. So you're going to see a lot of coming together, especially if you've been clear and you've been working on stuff, you've had your projects, even if they've been on side burner, if you put some attention to it, that means that your energy is on it. It's being highlighted by the universe. You know, it's like a flashlight. If you've been focusing on something and if you have it in some kind of form, this is really important for everybody. You've got to, even if it's an idea, you need to write it down. Or you need to sketch it out. If it's a song, you need to record it, or, you know, with a little recorder, or write the words, or you somehow need to have it in some form So that as this next ray of light comes in, this next level that is coming in, it can highlight, it can find it.
Mm.
It's like shining the flashlight on something. You know, you drop something on the floor and you shine the flashlight, you can't see it, and then all of a sudden the flashlight picks it up. So if it's in your head, it's not going to get picked up. This is really, really important right now. You might say spirit is getting a little more efficacious or efficient. That really right now it's about people that are really diligent and kind of, you know, playful, serious, you know, in other words, committed to their path, their projects, or whatever they're doing, that they've trusted enough. See, that trust harnesses and garners psychic energy, spiritual energy, so that I trust enough that, yeah, I want to do this, or I want to go in this direction. I told someone about it. I wrote it down. Or I went and checked things out. You'll find that your ideas, your plans are greatly highlighted in this next 11 to 12 month cycle. They're picked up. They're literally picked by the, how's this, the spiritual searchlight.
Fabulous. And, you know, today is a new moon, so to be talking about that today is just timely. And although I've written a lot of things down, I'm taking the rest out of my mind, and I'm going to mine my mind and you know, attach my treasure trough of inspiration to the flashlight.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Let that flashlight find you. Whatever it is, it could be a pen light or a searchlight. Just let the light hit your. What it is it's hitting the form, and animating it and giving it life. And so something may be on the side burner or back burner, and you might think it doesn't have, you know, life because the time isn't there yet. But all of a sudden the light hits it, and it's there. You are. You have the funds to do what you need to do or want to do, or you meet those right connections, or somehow a door that was seemingly closed opens. You know, those synchronicities, just like what you said today, you know, the synchronicities that are happening right now. And so if you've got what it is that you want to do, and it obviously fits into the greater plan, if you have that in some form, the light will hit it and animate it, as well as us. So you're going to see people getting healthier, more vibrant, more energy. You're going to see people with more energy. So if you, those of you that might have been feeling not a lot of energy, more energy will be coming up. Yeah. Any thought?
Bravo. Yes. This has been a great show that you channeled in. And I was glad.
Yeah, that I
well, everything is in divine order.
And it That's was-
It's good energy. I had to leave and go to the post office and came right back and chimed in and feeling it. And I just called to tell you a good show and thank you. And I got my pen in my hand. So I'm going to get off and do my due and honor the new moon, because this, again, is the time to bring in what you want. And today is the perfect day to do that, because the energies are always there to do what we want to do, but you know, more people are focused on the energies in that way today. So
now, what do you suggest with the new moon? That like to write something. I actually have something I need to send in for a media thing. So writing it up and sending it, because the new moon carries the energy for the beginning. Like it's a good time to initiate, right?
Yes, I suggest not only writing it, but if you happen to have a copy of it, a Xerox copy of it, writing it up, burning a copy of it, because that will expedite the fire, the process.
Ooh. Give it to the spiritual flame. Let the smoke send it to the spirit.
And it will.
I like that.
As well, transmute the energy from, you know, the form on the paper into. Another form. And you can speak while you're doing that.
Wonderful suggestion. I'm going to do that tonight. What a wonderful ritual. Let's do that, and we'll chat about it later. I'm going to do that. The burning, I'll make a copy, but I'm going to burn it because, yeah, you're right, that'll make it go into the ethers more quickly.
Yes.
Back up. Ooh, thank you for calling in with this. That's great.
My pleasure to be here and enjoy this wonderful energy that you channeled in today. And you continue on having a, a wonderful life. And until we meet again, peace.
Yes, until we meet again, peace, light. Oh, you all are so special, everyone. Well, our guest didn't show up, but another guest came through. So how's that? That was great. And thank everyone for the calls and the connecting and the great questions and the great comments. I really feel inspired and fueled, and I hope all of you do as well. Again, send me those emails, how and where you listen to Awakenings. That's awakenings@selfandlight.com, how and where you listen to Awakenings. And also the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook is Awakenings Radio. And you can connect with me on Twitter at Michelle Mache. And, of course, my website, selfandlight.com. So great to connect with all of you and continue to have a wonderful unfoldment. Peace and light. Let's go out with a little bit of Breathe by Herbalist Club. Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Place to get your inside information.